Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai
Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, Chapter 5, Text Number 29. Yadyapi Kevala Tandra Kridamatra Dharma Tatapi Jivere Kripaya Kare Eka Karma Yadyapi kevala tandra krida matra dharma Tadapi jivere kripaya kare eka karma Yadyapi kevala tandra krida matra dharma Tathapi jivere kripaya kare eka karma Yadyapi kevala tandra krida matra dharma Tathapi jivere kripaya kare eka karma I'll just read the translate. Oh, okay. Yadyapi, although, kevala, only, tandra, his, kridamatra, pastime only, dharma, characteristic function, tatapi, still, vivere, to the fallen souls, kripaya, by the causeless mercy, kare does, eka one, karma activity. Translation: although his pastimes are his only characteristic function, by his causeless mercy, he performs one activity for the fallen souls. He delivers the fallen living entities by offering them the four kinds of liberation: salokya, samipya, sharsti, and swarupya. Purport. There are two kinds of liberated souls, those who are liberated by the favor of the Lord, and those who are liberated by their own effort. One who gets liberation by his own effort is called an impersonalist, and he emerges in the glaring effulgence of the Lord, the Brahma Jyoti. But the devotees of the Lord who qualify themselves for liberation by devotional service are offered four kinds of liberation, namely salokya, status equal to that of the Lord, samipya, constant association with the Lord, sharsti, opulence equal to that of the Lord, and swarupya, features like those of the Lord. Text 31. Brahma sayuja muktere taha nahi gati vaikunta bahire hayata sabara stiti. Those who obtain Brahma sayuja liberation cannot gain entrance into Vaikuntha. Their residence is outside the Vaikuntha planets. Vaikunta bahire eka jyotiramaya mandala krishnera angera prava parama ujvala. Outside the Vaikuntha planet is the atmosphere of the glowing effulgence which consists of the supremely bright rays of the body of Lord Krishna. Sira loka namatandra prakritera para chitvarupa taha nahi chitchakti vikara. That region is called Siddhaloka and is beyond material nature. Its essence is spiritual, but it does not have spiritual varieties. Surya Mandala Yena Bahire Niveshesha Vitare Suryera Rata Adi Savishesha. It is like the homogeneous effulgence around the sun, but inside the sun are the chariots, horses, and other opulences of the sun god. Purport, outside of Vaikuntha, the abode of Krishna, which is called Paramvyoma, is the glaring effulgence of Krishna's bodily rays. This is called the Brahma Jyoti. The transcendental region of that effulgence is called Siddhaloka or Brahmaloka. When impersonalists achieve liberation, they merge in that Brahmaloka effulgence. This transcendental region is undoubtedly spiritual, but it contains no manifestations of spiritual activities or variegatedness. It's compared to the glow of the sun. Within the sun's glow is the sphere of the sun, where one can experience all sorts of varieties. Kamadvesha bhayasneha yata bhaktyeshvare namamanaha adeshata ragam hitva bhavastadgatim gataha. It is through devotion to the Lord that one can attain his abode. Many have attained that goal by abandoning their sinful activities and absorbing the minds of the Lord through lust, envy, fear, or affection. As purport, as the powerful sun by its glowing rays can purify all kinds of impurities, so the all-spiritual personality of Godhead can purify all material qualities in a person he attracts. Even if one is attracted by Godhead in the mode of material lust, such attraction is converted into spiritual love of Godhead by his grace. Similarly, if one is related to the Lord in fear and animosity, he also becomes purified by the spiritual attraction of the Lord. Although God is great and living entity small, they are spiritual individuals. And therefore, as soon as there is this reciprocal exchange by the living entity's free will, at once the great spiritual being attracts a small living entity, thus freeing him from all material bondage. This is a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam 7.1.29. Ma Om Vishnu Vraya Krishna Prasthai Bhutai Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tunamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Pacharne Nirvise Sarasunivari Paskatya Deva Sitarne. Beginning of the 12th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna asks, Evam Sadatam Yukta Ye Bhaktistva Tvam Paripasite, that of all the different types of worship, between either impersonal or personal, which is the better type of worship? And Krishna says, Sri Bhagavana Vasha, Maya Vesha Mano Yemam Nitya Yukta Upasite, that one who's always engaged in my devotional service, he's considered to be the best. Shraddhaya Pariya Petas Teme Yuktatamo Mataha, that always engaged in me in great and transcendental faith is considered to be by me to be the most perfect. Etvaksaramanir desham avyaktam paripasate sarvatra gamachintyam chintyo chintyam cha kutastam achalam dhruvam saniyanyendriya gramam sarvatra samabhudaya te prapnuvanti mameva sarvabhuta hite rataha. But those who fully worship the unmanifested, that which lies beyond the perception of the senses, the all-pervading, inconceivable, unchanging, fixed, and immovable, the impersonal conception of the absolute truth, by controlling the various senses, being equal, disposed to everyone, such persons engage in the welfare of all, at last achieve me. So there's a process by which one can realize Krishna's effulgence, known as Brahman. But it is emphasized in the Vedic literature that that is not the ultimate goal of self-realization. Vedanti tat tattva vidas tattva yaj jnanam advayam prameti paramatmeti bhagavan iti shabdyate. That the absolute truth is realized in three phases, namely his effulgence, his localized expansion, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. So of course, in conditioned life, the living entity suffering repetition of birth and death, if he gets the opportunity to experience another state of existence beyond material miseries, he thinks that that is wonderful. Sometimes we decry, or we hear the Vedic literature decry Brahman realization, how terrible it is. As a matter of fact, Prabodhananda Saraswati has said, Kaivalya Narakarate Tridasha Akasha Pur Pushpayate. He's begun his glorification of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by saying, Kaivalya Narakarate, that to merge into Krishna's effulgence is equal to going to hell. But in other places we find that if our happiness is multiplied 100 times, here, the happiness that we derive here, then that happiness is can be compared to the happiness they're experiencing on Indraloka. And if you multiply the happiness on Indraloka 100 times, that's the happiness they experience on Maharaloka. And you multiply that 100 times, that's the happiness they experience on Tapaloka. And similarly, there are other higher planetary systems where they experience even more happiness, such as in Jhanaloka, Siddhaloka, and finally even Brahmaloka, which is thousands of times more happiness than experienced even on the heavenly planet. But that happiness in Brahmaloka is only compared to a small fraction of the happiness attained by merging into Brahman. So compared to our present state of existence, although we are thinking we're happy, we're thinking that I pretty much have things together, just a few things are out of line, but by my endeavors, certainly they'll come into order, and then my life will be perfect, powerful, and happy. But the problem with conditioned life is that we don't realize how much we're suffering. Because of illusion, every conditioned soul is thinking things aren't so bad. They could be worse. Therefore, he's not so interested in obtaining another state of existence beyond material sense gratification, because neither he believes that there's such an existence beyond sense gratification. And even if he has some faith that there is that existence, he doesn't think it's so much better than his existence. More or less, the conditioned soul is the typical frog in the well who judges everything according to his personal experience. When he hears about the Atlantic Ocean full of water, he compares it to his amount of water in his own little well. And because he can't get out of his well, therefore, hearing these descriptions, he minimizes the extent of the Atlantic Ocean to fit within his conception of things. Anyone who's asleep, like Shyamananda, they should stand up. Might as well stand against the wall. Lean towards the wall in case you... Therefore, hearing these descriptions, it is actually not possible to us in our conditioned state to understand very much about what they're talking about. We can only get a little glimpse, because these experiences are not theoretical. They're experiences that can be practical, that are practical. They're meant for experience. But here it says that this body... Therefore, hearing these descriptions, it is actually not possible to us in our conditioned state to understand very much about what they're talking about. We can only get a little glimpse, because these experiences are not theoretical. They're experiences that can be practical, that are practical. They're meant for experience. But here it says that this bodily effulgence, as Prahlad Maharaj said, the amount of happiness one obtains in Brahman, even if it's multiplied a billion times, it would not be equal to an atomic fraction of one drop of the ocean of transcendental happiness obtained in devotional service. So trying to imagine that. But we're thinking we're doing pretty good. We're thinking, if I go to the spiritual world, what would I do there? I wouldn't have any problems to solve. I'd be without an engagement. There wouldn't be any anxiety. What would I think about? But here it's encouraging that this Brahman effulgence, which is obtained only after great endeavor by controlling the senses, it is not so easy to control the senses. We can just imagine that if one tried to control the senses without Krishna prasadam, without dancing and chanting, without devotional service, how hard it would be to control the senses. Even great yogis such as Subhara Muni, meditating under the water for thousands of years, simply by seeing some fish engage in sex life, became agitated. So most people nowadays see more than fish engage in sex life. So what to speak of ourselves, what is our qualification? If we went underneath the water for 2 minutes, we'd think we were drowning.
Similarly, other great personalities like Vishwamrita Muni engage in meditation for 60,000 years, and simply by hearing the ankle bells of an apsara, he fell down. Imagine if he heard some rock music, what would have happened? And that's after 60,000 years of meditating. And then even after that, just like sometimes we may think, well, I committed some mistake, I wasn't strong enough, but now I got it together, I learned my lesson. But after another 60,000 years of meditating, simply by hearing the ankle bells, he fell down again, this time due to anger. He was thinking that she's coming to get me again, well, I'll show her. And then he burnt it to ashes and fell down due to anger. And then it took him another 60,000 years until finally he obtained perfection. So after 180,000 years, he obtained perfection. So we tried to do it the indirect way. It is not possible, especially in this age. Neither will live for 180 years, what to speak of 180,000 years, nor are we so expert at controlling our senses. And Vishwamrita Muni, he was not such a fool that he even tried to do his meditation in the middle of a city. He went to the mountains and meditated, or underneath the water. So none of us are inclined to do that. We spend our first 100 years getting our house together before we start to meditate. Make sure we had running water and there was, you know, nice lights and there was enough nice prasadam every day. And so we wouldn't be able to do the same type of tapasya. And at the end, one realizes Brahman. And what is the result? Klesha dikotros desham avyakta shaktate chetasam avyakta hikitam dukam dehavadir avapyate. That after going through all this meditation, austerity, controlling the senses, trying to understand Brahman, then one finds himself in more difficulty. Because after realizing Brahman, he realizes he can't be happy there, and then he tries to get out of the Brahman conception by trying to understand some personal conception, and it becomes almost impossible to understand how God is a person, the Absolute is a person, because it's such long practice in the wrong thing. So Prabhupada writes at the beginning and at the end, it is troublesome. It is troublesome to realize Brahman, and after realizing Brahman, it is very difficult to get out of the conception that we're a God, that we're the Absolute, and to accept the actual God, Krishna. Therefore, even at the beginning or at the end, it's not recommended, especially Prabhupada writes in another purport, in this age of Kali, it is especially not recommended. Therefore, it is recommended, ye tu sarvani karmani, maya sanyasya matparaha, ananye naiva yogena, mam dhyayantu pasate, te shamaham samudata, mrityu samsara sagara, bhavami nacharam parata, maya veshita chetasam. But those who worship me, giving up all their activities unto me, who are devoted to me without deviation, engaged in devotional service and always meditating upon me, who have fixed their minds upon me, for them I am the swift deliverer from the ocean of birth and death. So by the process of devotional service, and what is that process? It means to accept things, to hear and to accept. Just like we're praying, Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Doya Kora More, my dear Lord Chaitanya, please be merciful to me. So why do we read the translation? Because the parrot can also sing, Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Doya Kora More, and not understand anything that he's talking about and get hardly any benefit from it. In other words, if we actually believe that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can be merciful to us, and if we actually want his mercy, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will reciprocate with us and give us his mercy. But if we think, why do I need anyone's mercy? I'm so merciful myself. Things aren't so bad, you know. I did pretty good in school. My digestive power is still pretty strong. Why do I need anyone's mercy? Things seem to be going pretty well. I finally got a heater in my room. What more can you ask for? So if we think like that, it's very difficult to pray with some conviction, some sincerity, and therefore, why will Chaitanya Mahaprabhu reciprocate with us? Well, he will reciprocate with us. We'll get exactly what we want, which may not be devotional or any devotional advance. So similarly, unless we understand Krishna, unless we understand who we are, unless we become convinced gradually and gradually accept our position, and that's manifested by practical devotional service, then it is not possible to realize what is the actual experiences of the higher realms of existence. What to speak of Brahman, it is not possible at all to get a glimpse into what is the experiences of devotional service. But by gradual acceptance of the principles of devotional service, then one can chant with some feeling, with some meaning, with some sincerity, with some conviction, and the result is that Krishna will reciprocate, and one will understand what is the actual import of the Vedic descriptions of spiritual existence. So here are some of the instructions. Those who worship me, who are giving up all their activities into me, being devoted to me without deviation, engaged in devotional service and always meditating upon me, who have fixed their minds upon me, for them I am the swift deliverer from this ocean of birth and death. So this is the process, somehow or another, to fix the mind upon Krishna, to sacrifice one's energies in his service, etc. And in this way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Krishna, they have the opportunity to reciprocate with us and give us transcendental enlightenment, transcendental feelings, ecstasy, so that one can actually understand what is devotional service. So it says that God is great, he's like the great fire, and we're like tiny little sparks. So if we realize that, if we don't think, well, I'm a pretty big spark compared to everyone else. And everyone else may be pretty dull, but I seem to be glowing most of the time. So if we compare ourselves to others within our experience, we may not realize how tiny little sparks we are. But by understanding Krishna as being the Aishvarya-sama-Aishvarya-sya-sama-gracya-virya-sya-yashasya-sriyaha jnana-vairagya-sthaiva-shanam-bhaga-itengana-ha, that who can imagine what it is like to be unlimitedly beautiful? So that is Krishna's position, that he's the source of everything. He's the sonam bonam, the original fountainhead of all opulences, of all energies. Therefore, within him is all beauty, all strength, all fame, all knowledge, all strength, all renunciation. So if one meditates on that, then one will become a little bit humbled by understanding how great Krishna is. And it's by accepting Krishna's greatness that one can feel a little subordinate, some subordination, some desiring to serve Krishna, follow his instructions, etc. So this is called devotional service. And as one engages in devotional service, it says, as Krishna reciprocates, he attracts a small little living entity, thus freeing him from material bondage. So we'll stop there. Is there any questions? Yes. Well, the ultimate higher taste is pure devotional service, associating with Krishna's internal energies.
So, for example, we are practicing devotional service, doesn't
it? In order
to go on, we are experiencing
Krishna gives some taste, the highest taste. No, if one experienced the highest taste, he wouldn't be in material existence anymore. Prema Pramartha Mahan. The highest taste is concentrated bliss of prema. Mahabhava. So if you're experiencing Mahabhava, you're experiencing the highest taste. If your seeker stands on end and you're rolling on the ground during kirtan, and your pores of your body erupting in little goosebumps, your body's turning different colors, As soon as you chant the holy name, then you're experiencing a highest taste. But if you seek, it just raises up a little bit. It's a little bit less of a taste. So there are different varieties of taste, of different degrees of absorption, devotional service. So Krishna does reciprocate. But just because I get one drop, or even a fraction of a drop, doesn't mean I've suddenly gotten the highest taste. That's not possible. Because as soon as one gets enough of a taste, then he's not in material existence anymore. Yeah, so that's something spiritual. So it's coming from devotional service. Yeah. There's only one religion. Bhagavad Dharma. Yes, they're all, the rest of them are all sects. They're not very enthusiastic. They're fanatics. There's a few fanatics amongst them. Most of them don't follow at all. They don't follow him at all. They just talk about following. They follow their own mental concoctions. Most of them, if they're vegetarians, but they're into abortion. And if they're against abortion, then they're into animal killing. So they don't follow. They're expert at speculation. It's all a show. Yes. This is a description of the heavenly planets here. Oh, before, yeah.
So I was reading this, and then actually there was a sad realization, because after reading it again, that goal, the desire to go there, I felt a little bit.
Well, when we read, by the process of devotional service, because we just by reading it, it may not be very much of an experience. There's a difference between theoretical understanding and actually experiencing what it's like to be there. Just like if a spark read about how nice it is to be in the fire, it would be one thing. But when it's actually in the fire, it gets a different experience. So when we read anything, when we hear anything, we judge it according to our past experience, because that's the only thing we can relate to. So there it sounds pretty boring. There's a lot more going on television. You know, a lot faster action. You know, just chariots and things like that. But here we have fast cars and all kinds of things going on. So we think it's like our mundane experience. Therefore we can't appreciate it. But by devotional service, by experiencing a different state of existence, then we can, it's a different, something different to relate to. Yes?
Also, in one of the scriptures said that
residents, they have earrings of costly jewels. So
how is it for
in
our terms, or
I mean,
how can you say something is costly
to spiritual? Well, try and buy one of those jewels. See how much it would cost. If you can get one of those jewels, you can make a fortune here. From our estimation, there, of course. But it's not that residents, because everyone there appreciates, if you have a jewel, it's not that if you show it to one of the residents, they'll say, I got 50 like that. To me, it's not worth a cent. No, everyone appreciates. Everything is very valuable there to the residents. Therefore, it's very dear to everyone. Here he does. But it's spiritual gold. Here it's false gold. Here's the conception of gold. It's just like a shadow. Just like if you had some gold, 100 pounds of gold, and if I gave you the shadow at a cheap price, would you buy it? You wouldn't think the shadow's worth very much. If I gave you half, I gave you half the price on a diamond shadow, it wouldn't make any difference. It's all about the same. Did a good association. Causes mercy, the good association of the devotees. Somehow or another, Krishna gives one's. Anyhow, so different factors. Main factor is association. We think, wow, I finally did something right. I'm getting back my reward for it. If we think like that, it'll be a long time before we get the next blessing. Generally, we should think, due to the causeless mercy, the association of some devotee, I've gotten some mercy. And we should pray that I can get some more mercy in the future. Yes.
I heard from a lecture of Prajna Maharaj that when devotees leave body in the holy land, if he is not here on the earth, if he is not qualified enough, then he goes somewhere in a material universe where Lord is performing his pastimes, his eternal pastimes. What is the difference?
Anyhow, everyone, even who would you hear that from?
Pradyumna.
Pradyumna. Who's Pradyumna? Oh, Indrajit.
So what is the difference between those places?
No, if you become qualified enough, then you can join Krishna in his lila after leaving this body. Because there are so many universes and there are so many Vrindavans. Krishna is appearing. He's always appearing somewhere in some universe, enacting his pastimes. And those who qualify can go and join him, and they get trained up to become completely qualified to enter into the spiritual world afterwards. So some of those living entities joining Krishna in his lila are liberated souls, and some of them are conditioned souls coming to the liberated platform and becoming eligible to enter into Vaikuntha or Goloka Vrindavan. So it's like, it's more or less it's an opportunity to get trained up further. Anything else? Yes. What's that? There's bliss in Brahman?
Yeah.
Well, compared to what we have, it's bliss. Just like if you're underneath the water and you're drowning, you're gasping and suffering, when they bring you up out of the water for a few seconds, you go, wow, this is ecstatic. Another breath. So compared to drowning, getting out of the water is bliss. I guess I want to take another dip. See what it's like. You forget. Because it's not much bliss. And just like if after a while you get bored, there's nothing going on. you think, well, it wasn't so bad. You know, there were some happy times too. As soon as you think like that, then you fall down. Yeah. Well, good luck. Is it? Well, it's nice to be there. I wouldn't gamble, though. Krishna doesn't say in the Bhagavad Gita, he doesn't sum it up and say, just being Vrindavan, there's no, you know, he doesn't say that. He says, Andakaleva Mameva Smaran Muktva Kalevra. If you remember me at the time of death, alone, without anything else, then you obtain me. So there are five potent activities which help remember, increase one's remembrance of Krishna. One of them is living in a holy place. But that's not the only one. Chanting the holy name, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, worshipping the deity, and association with the serving the devotees. These are five potent activities. So if one thinks that simply living in Vrindavan, that's enough, he may be surprised. Because there's a lot of hogs in Vrindavan and monkeys who thought they were going back to the spiritual world too. Because they didn't absorb their minds properly in Krishna consciousness, therefore they wound up back in Vrindavan as a hog or a dog. Yes. Prabhupada said like that sometimes.
Does that mean that these monkeys are more compassionate?
Anyhow, Prabhupada was very encouraging. In any case, we can understand it's not so easy to go back to Godhead. There are a lot of living entities around in the material world. It's not so easy. The actual qualification is strict devotional service. Abhyavichari bhakti. That's what Krishna says. Undeviated devotional service. It's not so easy. Although Prabhupada always had a balance, because if you make it seem too difficult, people say, well, it's too difficult, I can't do it. I might as well disengage in sense gratification. And if you make it too easy, seem too easy, then, well, what's the sense of trying so hard? I'm going to make it anyhow, no matter what I do. You know, I'll just do whatever I want to do, and at the end I'll get my, you know, I'll use my return ticket to Vrindavan, and that's enough. So there has to be a balance. In one sense, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, Krishna's mercy, is very strong and very powerful. In the other sense, it's not so easy to go back to Godhead. So there has to be a balance in between. Not that it's impossible, but not that it's so easy either. Yeah, but he didn't go back to Godhead either. Immediately. Because he was now Abbas, his chanting with Abbas, therefore he became purified. And then afterwards he became perfect by Krishna consciousness. But there's not so many ajamils written in the Srimad Bhagavatam. He's an instance to encourage people about the potency of the holy name. Shukadeva Goswami is telling this Pariksha Maharaj not to encourage people to commit sinful activities and at the end chant the holy name. He was encouraging Pariksha Maharaj that even sinful people, if they can chant the holy name, they'll become purified. After hearing the description in the fifth canto about how people suffer in the hellish planets, Pariksha Maharaj was very much in anxiety. So Shukadeva Goswami try to pacify his anxiety by showing how the holy name can liberate even a sinful person if chanted in complete sincerity and anxiety. But it's not so easy to chant with such sincerity as Ajamil, such anxiety. If it was so easy, we could try to do it now. You don't have to wait till death, just do it now. Anything else? Thank you very much. Grandra Srimad Bhagat Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Gaur Premanande.